Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a podcast named Tim, a father and son movie review podcast. And this week we are discussing Pulgasari and Space Amoeba. And I'm assuming we're also going to be touching on the latest kaiju movie. That's the theme for the week, which of course is Godzilla versus Kong, available now on HBO Max and in theaters. Those are the movies for the week. Each week we review two to three movies, and we just, you know, give our general thoughts about it. Like, you were walking out of the theater, you know, hey, you turn to the person you're there with, what did you think? That's what this show's all about, and we try and find some interesting movies. Please hit us up on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and our website, podcastnamedtim.com. And don't forget, we are on YouTube. So subscribe there. We can do Power Rangers reviews and a bunch of stuff, additional movie reviews, and whatever audio platform you're listening to this on, leave a review.
I'm doing fantastic.
Well, that is good. That is good. We are recording on a Saturday night, so I always appreciate those recordings. It is Easter Eve when we're recording this, so be busy tomorrow.
It's the day that I return to Walmart for the first time in a year.
I'm sorry.
Yes, I am too.
I don't think I've been in a Walmart in like 3 years. Maybe four.
Yeah, I've just gotten so used to shopping on the pickup that the, you know, side, but decided to go in and see. I don't know why I thought there'd be something different. Like, they'd invented some new food during the pandemic. It was the same shit whether I ordered it online or went in and dealt with the Walmart people. Woo! With some, it was, I'll tell you, the most fun sight was seeing this girl explaining to everyone why she couldn't wear a mask in there. Mm-hmm. And then when we were leaving, she was outside smoking a cigarette. Her reasoning? She has asthma. So,
yep.
Not sure.
Well,
not sure,
yeah,
how that works.
People of Walmart, what are you guys? What are you gonna do? Well, other than these lovely movies, what did you watch this week?
Nothing. No, you know what? I don't think I did. Just my normal stuff.
Nothing crazy.
Just all the normal movies. Nothing new.
I actually watched a decent amount this week. I watched The Lovers and the Despot, which we'll get into when we discuss Pulgasari. I watched Godzilla and Kong, which we'll get to in just a moment.
Well, I watched that. But
yeah.
I didn't think I was supposed to say that yet.
No, I knew that. I knew you were going to say that. And then the other big thing I watched was me and the wife got back into Rick and Morty. Which we love, and we never watched season four, and I think there's rumors of season five coming out here soon, so we decided to go ahead and hop back into that weird and crazy universe. Now, did you ever watch that? Have you ever?
I have watched some of it.
Okay.
Could get into it.
I understand. It's not your bag. Not your bag, baby.
I mean, it might be. I like off the, you know, I like weird stuff. I did watch Invincible. I'm just continuing with Invincible.
Yes, yes, which I think I might start tonight, actually.
Very good, very good show. So episode four was not quite as good. A little bit of one of those filler episodes you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all right. Still good. Just not as good, yeah, as the our first couple.
And I watched Dino Fury, of course, which we do reviews of each week. And yeah, still sucks. It is not a very good season, in my humble opinion. But that's just...
I haven't watched the last two.
You ain't missing much.
I've just watched your reviews while I was doctoring them up, and I was like, no, he's not selling me.
You're not missing much. Well,
yeah.
Before we hop into the official movies that we're supposed to be discussing this week, Pulgasari and Space Amoeba, which we'll start with Pulgasari, but let's talk about Godzilla vs. Kong. You said you watched the old OG King Kong vs. Godzilla, I believe. this week?
I watched, okay. I don't know why, but I decided just, I hadn't watched it in, you know, 20 years probably, right. Probably more than that.
Right, right.
So I turned it on, and when it comes on, it actually mentions that this is the American version.
Okay.
Because they had a Universal-owned King Kong and Toho-owned Godzilla. Mm-hmm. They had to make a little agreement, so they both had the version. I guess I've seen them both. I didn't really remember too much about either one of them. So the first ones I watched was the American one. That was pretty bad. Then I decided, let me go on a deep search and see if I can find the Japanese one. And that took a while. I had to go on the black web. Well, dark web. I found it. I watched it. Much better.
Okay.
Much better, because it doesn't have those cutscenes that the Americans decided to put in were really horrible. They didn't make any sense. It was bad. And the story was a little bit different. The editing was different. The fight scenes were a little different. Outcomes were different. It was better as a Japanese version. Still, the thing you come away from is that was the god-awfulest gorilla suit I've ever seen in my entire life.
It wasn't that great.
Oh, those eyes, and you can see his head pieces back, the flaps coming open, and it was horrible. And some of the fight scenes were men in costumes on miniature sets, and some were action figures. It was really bad. So that being said, I did watch them just for nostalgia. Talked the family into watching it. You can go from there.
So I talked the wife into watching it. And I did a review. It's on YouTube. So if you want my own individual thoughts, and you can see me as well doing that. But I enjoyed it. I thought that all of the stuff with the people was dumb and terrible writing and didn't make any sense. And it just happened to happen. But I have, as you know, I have one very simple rule in movies. Give me what I'm asking for and give me what you promise. The movie promised Godzilla vs. Kong, and I'll be damned, I got Godzilla vs. Kong several times for a long time in very well shot and executed action sequences. There's some weird lore stuff that we'll get into, I'm sure, in a second. But I thought that, you know, because a lot of those versus movies, they just tease it, and you don't get anything until the end of the movie.
Right.
And they didn't do that this time. And what they gave you satisfied me. So that, I was happy. And we got Mecha, spoiler alert, we got Mecha Godzilla, which was awesome as well. So what did you think?
I could have really liked this movie. Could have. But I didn't end up liking it as much as you did, I think. It was okay. It's not going to be one I watch again. Like you said, I don't know why the humans were in this movie. That was some of the dumbest. For the whole conspiracy guy just really irked me and irritated me. We didn't need that. The only thing they didn't do, thank goodness, was throw in a love story.
Yeah.
I was so scared that Skarsgård and that girl were going to end up in some love story. I was sitting here tensed up. Well, please, please don't do this. Please don't do this. And they didn't do that. So kudos to that. Love Millie Bobby Brown. Why? She didn't need to be in this.
I'm sure it was contractual.
Yeah. She was the guy from Friday Night Lights, her dad, he could have gone. The kid from Christmas Chronicles 2, he could have gone. There was just nothing to that. And I don't know why we had to do all that backstory. We could have cut this down to an hour and a half of a really good battling monster movie with the great effects it had and the great battle scenes, like you said. And I would have walked away from it thinking, that was fantastic. But they threw too much crap in there.
I loved how they just like walked into the base and then got on the elevator and it just happened. And I was like, yeah. All right, whatever. What did you think of the Hollow Earth thing? And then
Where was fucking Frodo?
Well, here's what. Where was Brendan Fraser? I liked the idea of Hollow Earth, but I was kind of confused because there was like an actual throne there and like some actually civilized thing. Were the monkeys like civilized?
I don't know. Quote your brother. Your brother had the best take on that. He goes, why exactly did they blow up this whole Middle Earth, Hollow Earth thing? He went down, he sat on the throne, and we're done.
Well, he had to get the axe, man. He had to get the axe.
He did get the axe, which was dumb. Come on, that was dumb. And recharging it. Come on.
Did you notice what the axe was?
Maybe not.
I didn't notice it until someone pointed out in a review I watched.
Okay.
The actual spike of it was like a spike from a Godzilla beast.
Oh. No, I didn't realize that. Okay, yeah. It makes sense. Oh, that's why he can recharge it. That helped me out a little bit.
Yeah.
It's still stupid, but at least I understand why it's stupid now.
and also, this movie gave me another movie I want to see. Because when they said that the King Kongs and the Godzilla people had some kind of war back in Hollow Earth at some point, I said, whoa, where is that scene? Where is that movie? Where's that flashback? I will say, when the Hollow Earth showed up, I was a little concerned. I thought that they were going to cheat us out of a movie and that they were going to have their fight down there and not on Earth.
Right.
And that was going to be, I don't know, because to me, you got to have it here so you can get the destruction and the people.
I thought
that was going to be a way to get around
that. That concerned me.
But they didn't. They didn't do that. And I thought that they... What I thought was funny was that the whole plot of the movie was basically that these two monsters have what's the term that is used now? Toxic masculinity. It was basically if these two see that the other one exists, they have to find out who's dick's.
They got to, because that's all us guys do is whip out our dicks every time we see each other. Oh, there's another guy.
Fight him.
Come here, bitch.
That was the whole plot of the movie.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. That was a little bit of a silliest things. Here's the two silliest things.
Okay.
I hated those stupid glowing neon hovercraft things.
Okay.
Oh, what was that? That was dumb. I don't care if these guys are high tech guys. That was beyond anything. That didn't make sense. If they could do all that, then we probably could have figured out a way to harness Godzilla and kill Godzilla and King Kong without all this crap.
Right.
They can. Second thing, the guy sitting in the skull.
Oh, that was sweet.
That was dumb.
That looked awesome.
That was so dumb. He was sitting in King, what's his name?
Ghidorah.
Ghidorah's head. He was sitting on a Ghidorah's skulls. And said, come on, that was stupid.
I don't want a man cave anymore. That's what I want. I just want that as my room.
That was dumb.
I like that a lot.
I didn't like Mega Godzilla at all.
You like Mega Godzilla?
Alex did. I didn't care for it. I don't know. It just, he came from space.
Well, yes. And I mentioned that to my wife when we were watching. I said, you know, he's come from space before. And what I liked about it was I liked the villain. I liked his. I was like, oh, this guy's making sense. We humans have got to be on top. So I liked that. And I liked it. And here's the other thing I'll give the movie credit for. Typically in these versus movies, like if it's Alien versus Predator or Freddy versus Jason, they don't give you a winner.
Right.
This movie said, no. Godzilla's King. Because he beat the shit out of King Kong.
Yeah, he did.
And I'm glad
the one that had to get a space age defibrillator. I'm sitting there yelling, clear. That was kind of dumb.
I am, because I'm Team Godzilla all day. So I was happy to see that he beat the shit out of that monkey.
He did. He definitely did. Because if they hadn't pumped him back up, started him back, he'd have been gone. But he came back with awful quick and some awful super strength there when he got back.
So, question about the end of the movie.
Okay.
At the end of the movie, after they've had their bro moment and they've been like, yeah, bro, I respect you, bro. King Kong gets up and he drops the axe. There's two ways to interpret that scene. But I'm assuming the correct way to interpret that is he is bowing down to Godzilla, like, look, man, I don't want none of that no more.
He buried the hatchet.
Yeah.
No, literally.
He did.
What was the other one?
Well, I didn't know if it was a peace offering or if it was submersive, you know. That's what I didn't know. Like, was he trying to be like a peace offering thing or was he trying to like bow down to him?
I think it was, you know, we took these scales during the, we took your scale during the big war of our people and you got it back. You won. That's the way I took it.
I enjoyed it.
Now the original one, they both fell into the water,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't really know what was going on. And then all of a sudden, you saw King Kong swimming back towards Skull Island, and Godzilla. You didn't know.
Right. So what you're saying is that King Kong won the original movie.
I don't really think it was a clear cut winner.
Okay.
But because that.
Okay.
It was okay.
I enjoyed it. But I also haven't seen any of the other rebooted ones, so I have nothing to compare it to.
I still think Skull Island's the best.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it. King of All Monsters.
I heard that one's like really just dark, like visually dark and rainy, and they kind of hide stuff.
Yeah. Now, Alex liked that they followed the video game with Mega Godzilla. The same powers he had, the shooting, the things, all that, that was all. And mm-hmm. that sliding forward thing mm-hmm. was a move that he made in the video game. So he was quite happy that they stuck with that.
Well, now we need, what's the one called? Destroy All Monsters? Is it the one where it's just like everybody in space?
Yeah, I think so. Mothra.
That's what we need now.
Rodan.
Yeah, we need some Mothra. We need some Gamera. Although that's a whole separate thing.
Right.
We need all that now.
I don't know. You don't think this is it?
No, they're not done. Not yet.
As long as it makes money. I mean, if it makes some money, they'll be back.
Yep.
Hope we don't get a Jack Schneider cut. Good long.
5 hours long. Then we'll appreciate and understand what the humans were doing. There were so many scenes cut out, we just didn't understand what they were doing.
Yeah, that, I don't know. That was horrible. It ruined the movie.
Great popcorn flick.
It should have been a great popcorn flick. It's what it was designed for, but they kind of screwed it up trying to do too much, I think. Movies just can't stop doing too much. Stop putting in so many layers for this kind of movie. If I want to go see a layer movie, I'll go see an Academy Award type movie. With all the different layers and stories. This is a popcorn movie. Put some action, some killing, some cursing, and I'm ready to go.
Absolutely. Well, those are our thoughts on King Kong. Godzilla versus Kong.
Godzilla versus Kong.
Yes. So.
Oh, the original one. There was one thing.
Yes.
The music in the American version. I guess they had lost the rights to a lot of the music. The Japanese music was really good. It mm-hmm. kind of went with it. The American version, they used stock music from Universal. Oh, so Lord. The monster music was the same music from Creature from the Black Lagoon. Nice. I don't know if you know that music, that Creature from the Black Lagoon song.
No.
It's very iconic to me. They kept using that over and over again. I just kept waiting for the Creature from the Black Lagoon to show up. It was horrible.
Nice. Well, let's go ahead and talk about a little Pulgasari. But before we do, or Plugasari, Pulgasari, I'm never going to get it right. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick moment to pause and hear a word from our sponsor. So Pulgasari came out in 1985, a 1 hour and 35 minute runtime, directed by Sang, I guess it's OK Shin. It is probably the first and only North Korean film we're going to ever be discussing on this show.
Now, don't say that. You never know.
Well, just because I don't know if there's that many out there that you can get your hands on. We'll get into the backstory of the actual film, because the actual movie has an amazing backstory. But basically, in feudal Korea, there's a evil king, an evil, you know, leader, and there's a peasant rebellion against him. They end up bringing about this beast, Pulgasari, who eats iron, and every time it eats, it grows bigger and bigger and bigger, and they end up overthrowing the king, but catch 22, baby, because now they got this big monster they still got to keep feeding. And so that is the movie. Yeah, it's where do you want to begin with this? Because there's so many places to start. Let's start with the backstory, maybe. Or what did you thought? What did you think?
I liked it, actually. Now, I don't know if it's because I was so enthralled with the backstory that I read first that I was so interested in it. There was parts of this movie that were actually really good. But it was so weird. It was almost like one of those movies, and it wasn't. It was like one of those movies they pieced together from like three or four different films. The color was different, and some of the style. Some of the shots were very crisp and clear and nice shooting, and then some of them were like dark, like they had stole a 20-year-old movie and stuck in there. The scenes of the guy that made what was his name? The guy that made Pulgasari.
Shin.
You know, some of that dying scene, it was touching. It was actually kind of like, all right, it's kind of cool. I liked how you said the catch 22. You know, it was kind of like, well, that was kind of cool. I was surprised by one thing. Here's the biggest thing I was surprised about, that they actually made a movie showing a revolt against the, because, you know, other countries, you can make those kind of movies. I can't believe that the actual dictator's son, who later became the, you know, yeah, the dictator himself, actually thought that was a good idea.
that was the most, because I knew going into this movie, so I guess we should say before we, why that's fascinating is, basically, there's an actress, the wife of Shin, I don't remember her name, but she was kidnapped on a trip to Hong Kong by North Koreans. And then, then Shin went and looked for her, and then he got kidnapped. And she was treated fairly well. I mean, she wasn't tortured or anything like that, but, you know, she was held against her will and all that fun stuff. But Shin was in a camp for 5 years. And they basically, Kim Jong-il said that, you know, I want you to make a North Korean film industry and make it world-renowned. And he kind of used them not only to make good movies, because Kim Jong-il was a huge movie buff. It was called Operation 100, where he would go around and he had people steal and bootleg and get movies into North Korea. He had like 15,000 movies or something like that. He was a movie fanatic. And he wanted to use it for propaganda purposes, and that was one of the positions he was given in the government. And so part of his plan was to get these good people in, and we'll use these people from South Korea to, I can flaunt them around, showing that they've defected, and also they'll make movies to, you know, promote what I wanted to promote. And I watched The Lovers and the Despot, which is a BBC style documentary. What was fascinating about it was that a lot of people in South Korea cap got caught.
Right.
He was in a lot of money trouble. Someone said that, like, film, a typical Korean film at that time would cost $8,000. And he was trying to sell $30,000. And I don't think they were making what they needed to make.
Your mic is going in and out.
There were creditors outside their house all the time.
Jeremy? Your mic is going in and out.
Oh. Is it better now?
Yes. Thank you, Doug. All right, our studio guys got it all straightened out.
I think I was pinching it, but yeah, there were creditors outside of his house all the time, and so and what was interesting is somehow the two of them recorded conversations with Kim Jong Il,
right?
And they were able to sneak some out and get some to some people who got him to the U.S. embassy. And what was interesting about that is that the people in the embassy said they wanted to hear it because no one had ever heard Kim Jong-il talk. No one knew what he sounded like. They actually gave them the first recordings of, and you got to listen to some of them about their conversations. And that's what helped them get asylum. They ended up coming to America afterwards because he basically said, "Oh, I'm sorry, my people, you know, kidnapped you. I didn't want it to be that way. I just wanted to be
right.
You know how dictators."
Oh yeah, the ones I hang around with are all like that.
But they actually supplied the first recordings of what he sounded like, so people would know who he was and what he sounded like.
And I see the one I watched said that she was very friendly with Kim, yes, and he wasn't. And when they finally put them back together, he called her on it, and she told him, "What kind of director are you when you can't understand acting?"
Yeah.
And then they went to they talked him into going to a German premiere.
Yeah.
And somehow slipped into a different cab than the other ones and made a run for the embassy.
Yeah, they were saying in the film they had actually gone to a couple of different film festivals before this, like in other countries, and she wanted to run, and he had tried to escape a couple times beforehand when he was still in prison,
right,
and did not go very well. And so he said, "We're gonna do it. We need to make sure it works."
Right.
And they snuck out of a room, got in a cab, they were able to make it to the embassy before. But yeah, they were being tailed the whole way there. They talked to their kids that they had and stuff, and just, you know, that whole experience. What was sad is that one of the kids, the son, he said, because people didn't believe his dad was kidnapped, and he was saying the normal propaganda stuff you would say to make sure you don't get beat. He said, during my time of need, when, both my parents went missing within 6 months or a couple months of each other,
right,
no one was really saying, "Oh, we're sorry about your loss." He said, people would make fun of me and call my dad a dirty communist and blah, blah, blah. And so he got a bunch of shit on him.
Sure.
He thought his dad was a traitor.
So we need that South Korean director that just won the Academy Award to actually make a movie with this.
Someone needs to make
this. I think that'd be fantastic. When I was first thinking about it, I was like, maybe, this needs like the Oliver Stone treatment. I was like, well, not Oliver Stone, though. It needs to be someone a little more updated. Martin Scorsese, he's too far gone for this. And then I remembered, I was like, wait a minute, that South Korean director that just won for Parasite and all, that was an excellent movie directed. I think he should do it. It'd be perfect. It would fit perfectly.
Yeah, someone needs to get their hands on this. And what I thought was interesting is, before we get back to the actual movie, I did not realize that this gentleman was an executive producer on a couple of films that we had watched.
Really? Now that I didn't see.
When he came to America, under the name Simon S. Sheen, he executive produced the second, third, and fourth Three Ninja movies.
Really?
Yes. So there you go.
Did he do the one with Hulk Hogan in it?
That is correct. So
something Mountain, Thunder Mountain, or
High Noon at Mega Mountain.
Mega Mountain. There we go.
Yes. Yeah, he did Knuckle Up, Kickback, and High Noon at Mega Mountain. He executive produced.
It's funny because I'm wearing Hulk Hogan socks right now.
Brother. Yeah, brother. So the movie. I agree with you. I enjoyed it. I was surprised as well because I knew this was going to be a propaganda film, and I couldn't believe that they were showing this uprising.
Yeah.
But at the end, it made sense. Because, yeah, they overthrew the government, but they were in a worse state afterwards. And I was like, oh, so that's the message.
Yeah, but still.
I was surprised.
I was surprised that they let them talk to them that way.
I also thought it was interesting because you don't get, and I think this hurt the movie in some respects, you don't get a lot of period pieces that are kaiju movies because it limits the destruction you can have. You can't destroy a city and all that. And so that was interesting. But I like that dynamic of it being involved in a war and that stuff. When Paul Gasari showed up, I busted out laughing when he was laying in bed beside them with the little sheets on top of him. That was hilarious.
That was funny.
That was the best part of the movie, probably. But I love the creature design.
Yeah, I started to ask you that.
Yeah, I love the creature design. I thought a lot of the effects were good. There was a little too... They went to the well of someone dying and everyone freaking out about that and crying about that a little bit too much. But overall, I enjoyed it, and I think it's worth people going out there to watch.
Definitely, it is. Yeah, especially when you know the. Again, I think this is all sold on the backstory.
Yeah, I agree. And they said in a 2.5 year span, they made 17 movies in North Korea, and this was one. I think this was the last one they made. Okay. If I remember correctly, but it said they did the first romance because he said all the movies over there were all just loyalty and that was the same story over and over.
Right.
Again. So they did a love story and espionage. They did like a lot of different stuff. And he made a joke. He said, you know, the good thing about being here is I basically have unlimited resources. If I wanted, I could get it.
Well, yeah. I'm surprised he was never in any of them in some kind of cameo or something.
Yeah.
Or is he?
No, I don't know.
I'd like to know. I'm surprised with his ego that he was not somehow featured in.
Oh, you know what? I think he did. I want to say that Shin did two like documentary style things about them.
Okay.
A lot of the movies you cannot. Like, I went and clicked on a bunch of them the other day, and it was like, plot unknown, plot unknown, plot. So I think this might be one of the few that actually made it
out. Never got out of the country.
Yeah, so I think a lot of them didn't make it out. I forgot to mention earlier, I should say, it has a 5.3 on IMDb, which I was surprised about. I thought it would be lower. Just going in initially.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this is a good movie, and I think there's a really good concept here where I would like to see another period military war based kaiju movie. Not necessarily this film, but just that
idea. Right. That'd work.
So
get on
it. I'll get right on it. We'll go ahead up to our next film, which was your selection for the week, entitled Space Amoeba. Came out 1970, a G rating, 1 hour and 24 minute runtime, a 5.3 on the IMDb score. Directed by Mr. Hondo, who of course directed Godzilla and a bunch of other famous films. In this movie, there is a spaceship that lands on Earth, and it brings with it a alien life form. It lands inside an island. We got to go to the island because we're uncharted resources. And there's some big conflict that happened. That's I'll go ahead and say first, since this was space. I didn't care for Space Amoeba. I found it very generic. I didn't really care for the character side. I really liked the character.
Are you pinching your mic again?
Hmm? What?
So you pinching your mic again? You're going out again.
No, I had my... Maybe I just... Is it better?
Yes.
Okay. I thought that I didn't like the space amoeba design, the octopus design. I liked the crab and the other monsters. But
that octopus was pretty creepy. Octopuses are creepy anyway.
Yes, but I didn't care for it, and I had not seen this. When you mentioned it, I was thinking of, I think it's called Attack of the Crab Monsters.
Oh yeah.
Was the one I was thinking of. But I had not seen this before. I think that a lot of these movies, you have one or two things. You either have something from space that's a monster, or you do go to weird island.
Right.
And I didn't like the fact that they tried to do both, because it confused me, because it seemed like on this island they had a lore about a giant monster. So I was confused about whether they were already giant monsters
and right.
they happened to be a space thing coming over, or the space thing made the giant monsters. I didn't understand all that.
Yeah, I don't think they knew either.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure they were just filming.
Yeah.
Okay. Hoping something would go together. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Okay.
It was not very entertaining. I did think the octopus, like I said, was creepy. Just that noise it was making, and you know, octopuses are like little escape artists, and they're sneaky, and so that was kind of creepy. The crab, you know, it was crab.
Right.
It was
I like the turtle too.
Turtle was a little weird looking, little. I don't know. Had some crazy looking prehistoric. Yeah, so that's the other kind of prehistoric. So where I didn't really understand what the background story was either. I didn't understand why we had to put in a space amoeba to do that. It just was, I don't know.
They had some space stuff.
They decided they needed to throw it in.
Just take out the space stuff.
They did too much.
Yeah. Well, you know what they need now is we need a sequel. Like, you know how we had Jurassic Park and then we had Jurassic World.
Right.
Where they actually built the park. Well, now we need this where they've actually built the resort. And then, you know, that's what we need now. Which I'm sure has been done already in some form or fashion.
There's probably I'm sure.
Spiritual successors to this.
Sure.
I don't know. I think it was just very average was the biggest thing, and forgettable.
It was. I liked the trailer better than anything.
Well, I mean, it wasn't bad. It was just forgettable.
When I watched the trailer, I thought it looked kind of, I thought it would kind of fit in, looked like it was going to be, I don't know, just kind of, it was definitely, I didn't think outside the box on it. I just kind of went with, okay, this looks like the same sort of movie, so we'll do it. I should have looked a little deeper.
Well, this has one very, well, not one very interesting. It has one interesting bit of trivia. This is actually the last Toho production film that was made under the old studio film, where the actors were actually contracted directly to the studio. So this is the last of their old Hollywood style kind of production. So
maybe this is the reason.
Yeah, they're like
they broke the contract.
Yeah.
it was pretty light.
Not the best. I like some of the idea. I like the resort thing, and I just wish there would have been more about the resort and the island and that mythos and not the space stuff. Make that a different movie. So I wish we had more to say about this, but it's honestly very forgettable.
I was struggling. I was trying to find some interesting trivia or something on it, and just wasn't there.
Yeah, not great.
Don't watch this one.
No. Watch the other one.
Skip this one.
Yeah, watch Bulgasaur. For sure.
Absolutely. On YouTube.
On YouTube. That's right. On the YouTubes. Well, let's let's go ahead and talk about next week.
Is there going to be a next week?
Why wouldn't there be a next week?
Oh, yeah. Has to be a morning after.
That's right. So next week, Mortal Kombat was supposed to come out. It's been delayed by a week, but we're going to go ahead and do our thing anyway. Which, I don't know why you're delaying a movie by a week. This close. But, whatever.
I'm sure there's some executive that ran some numbers and figured it out that...
My only thing I hope is that they're hopeful that maybe more theaters will be open, so maybe more people will go see it so they can make their money.
Maybe.
That makes sense, because if there's issues with the movie, you ain't fixing it at this point. So since they're doing that, I decided we should do some fighting tournament based movies kind of connected to Mortal Kombat. We've already done video game related movies before, so in a previous episode. But what did you find for your fighting tournament movie?
You gotta watch Real Steel.
Okay.
I've never seen that one.
It's the Hugh Jackman, right?
Yeah.
It's on the Netflix.
It is on the Netflix.
Well, I found a movie starring someone who I don't think we've discussed, and I don't think starred in a lot of movies, but I believe he has a larger role in this than others. At least from what I read very briefly. And we're going to watch Blood Fight.
Bolo Young. I know that one.
Had to watch a little Bolo Young. So Blood Fight is on, I believe is on Pluto and on Amazon Prime for free right now.
That is a big man. I mean, I don't know about tall, but he is thick.
Yes. So a little Bolo Young action.
Are you surprised I knew that?
I am very surprised you know. I'm assuming you saw it in theaters one weekend or something.
No. Never seen it.
Okay. Then I'm even more impressed. we're going to watch Blood Fight from 1989. So a nice 80s action film.
You know how I know?
How do you know?
Because I almost picked that one too.
So I looked at that. I didn't want to pick Enter the Dragon because that was too obvious.
Right.
And I know you
know. You know what? I bet I know another one you almost picked.
What?
Because I almost picked it too.
Go ahead.
Oh, geez. I'm going to get it. Master of the Flying Guillotine?
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
I saw that one. I was like, but it was on Pluto. And I was like, I don't do a Pluto.
I almost picked that too. I almost picked that last time we did our Kung Fu themed episode.
I knew it. As soon as I saw that name and that picture, I was like, that's one Zach would look at.
So I narrowed it down to these two. The third movie I thought about picking was called The Quest.
I didn't see that one.
It is a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
Yeah.
But it is not free anywhere. So I didn't pick that.
I bet I've seen that. I saw all his movies.
Jean-Claude's man.
And my favorite of his movie is not Bloodsport. You know what my favorite movie is his?
Double Dragons? Twin
Time
Dragons?
Time Cop.
I like the one where there's twins of him. Which one's that?
That was a good one, too.
I don't remember what it's called.
I don't know. Him and RVD played it, I think. I don't know. I don't remember what that was called. I know what you're talking about. That was good. Double Jeopardy.
Double Dragon. Double Twin Dragons.
Two lumps.
What? Double Impact.
Double Impact.
I like Double Impact. That's my favorite.
Yeah, that was pretty good too. No, I saw all his movies when I was the 80s, 90s.
John Paul was great.
I wouldn't go there. He ruined Street Fighter.
No, she
was
great.
Okay.
I almost picked Street Fighter also. Jean-Claude's great. Before we end this episode, there's like, you know, there's tier one, which is Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan, Jet Li. And I'd say there's tier two, which is Seagal, Chuck Norris, Jean-Claude, who's your top of tier two? Because I would say Jean-Claude, right? Then Seagal, then Norris? Or are you more of a Seagal guy?
I'm more of a Seagal guy because I think his stuff was real. I think he's a bigger douchebag, which probably adds to my pick. I like this movie's better. Okay. They're not as good. It's just one of those things where I can't tell you why.
He has an aura about him.
He's the Burt Reynolds of that genre. I think Burt Reynolds is probably horrible, but I love Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds
is great. So, I don't know. He's not up to Shatner level.
Okay.
But... Okay. Who, congratulations and happy birthday. He turned 90. And will soon be a WWE Hall of Famer.
We don't recognize that company here anymore.
We don't?
I don't.
Why don't you recognize WWE anymore?
It doesn't exist.
Well,
It offended me at one point, so I've deleted it from my memory.
But, I mean, you can't just delete them.
I just did.
Well, anyway, you have to put them back because we have to celebrate that William Shatner is going into the WWE Hall of Fame. Jerry Law is going to induct him, right?
Are they best friends? I don't know.
It's just kind of who he was always connected with when he came. He always talked about the King, and I think Jerry's... I think they're not buddies or anything, but I think they're casual acquaintances. But
okay.
I'm assuming that's who would induct him.
I don't know. Picard, maybe?
No.
No.
Why would Picard induct...
That'd be great.
This one off the rails. That's what happened. So we can't record this time of night.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope that you enjoy a little blood fight.
Of course. I always enjoy Bolo Young.
I do too. So that sounds good to me. And what am I watching again? What's the name of it? One last time.
Real Steel.
All right. Hugh Jackman. All right, well, we will see you all next time.
Evangeline Lilly, I think.
I don't know. I just know he's in it.
I think that's who's in it.
I know it was like one of the movies he did after X-Men. That's about all I know.
I don't think he got a lot of respect, but I've seen some cult people kind of say they enjoy it. So
okay.
We'll have to see. I'm surprised. How come we didn't get Robo-Jock or whatever that... What's that?
I thought you were going to pick it, man.
I thought you were going to, so I left it alone.
Well, you know.
Maybe we'll watch it and have a bonus third discussion.
No promises.
No, not here either.
Well, that is all we have to say for this week. And we'll see you next time here on a podcast named Tim. Goodbye.